Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 443, Hear and Be Healed. Guest Minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Sunday, October 26th, 2025, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
How's everybody doing today? Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. All right, you know what I need for you to do as an act of faith? Why don't we stand up? We're being expectant today for healing since this is the inauguration, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we sang in the first song, He picked me up, He turned me around, He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Hallelujah. So why don't you do that? Turn around, take those chains, the sicknesses, the diseases, the emotional pain, depression. Turn it around. God, turn it around. Turn it around. Break those chains right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. All right. All right. All right. Who's already healed? Come on. Yay. Amen. All right. Have a seat. Let's get into this. This is so exciting. This is hear and be healed. This is a principle of the Word of God. First, we hear in our spirits, in our ears, and it becomes the healing in our bodies. You know, he was talking about faith. It's all about your faith. It has to be your faith. Otherwise, God doesn't work with that. It says he works with faith. He considered Abraham righteous because of his faith. So we have to also have faith. So that act that you just did, everybody expectant, be expectant. All right, so we're going to just start about what did Jesus do? How did Jesus go about his ministry? That's really what we're focusing on. Jesus had just kicked off his ministry and started teaching in the synagogues and preaching all over the countryside. Well, guess what? We've been teaching healing classes here going on 2 years for our healing master class. We've done a couple of walking in divine healing classes this summer. We are in the middle of a 3D healing class right now, delving deeper in divine healing. We've been doing the teaching. Now the preaching part. And then we go out in the countryside and they start following, right? Miraculous healings and wonders were happening and people were taking notice. Are you ready for people to take notice and see a move of God in the city?
Yes.
I am.
Yes.
I am. This has been an amazing, amazing vision given to them 30-some years ago. And today's the day we're taking that step of faith. Sorry, guys, I'm going up off screen. Anyways, this is the way I like to do it. So today's the day. We're taking steps of faith to move into something that they had a vision of a long time ago from God. It's been a long time coming, and today's the day. I'm just so excited about that. And guess what? Each one of you are here not by accident, but by divine appointment. God has divine appointment for us today. And he said, today, be expectant, because when we walk out, we are the healed church. The healed church that shows the countryside something completely different. Amen?
Amen.
It's got to happen because God said so. So this day may not look like thousands of people are in here, but this is the step of faith this church is taking. And I feel so honored to be the one to bring the message of the Word of God today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, all right, let's see here. Jesus healed a man with leprosy and told him not to tell anyone, but to go show himself to the priests and offer sacrifices. Do you think he did that? I think not. Luke 5:15 says, yet the news about him spread all the more. So we know he didn't. We know he was so excited to be healed. Obviously, people go, where have you been? You've been out in the desert for a long time. But he was completely healed and he couldn't help but say, it was Jesus. It was Jesus. So the crowds, that crowd of people came to hear him and to be healed. So it's already starting. He just got anointed. He just started walking in power. Boom. Things are happening now. It says they heard and they were healed of their sickness. You see the correlation there. It starts really early on in his ministry. Luke 6:17-19 says, he went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. So he didn't stay in one place. He moved about. He kept on going. And just from Luke 5 to Luke 6, this many people have now heard and are starting to come to be healed. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Why was their power coming from him? Anybody know? I'm not teaching my class. They can't answer me right now, right? I got to keep going. Okay, so I'm used to teaching this way. The power was coming from him because of Acts 10, 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. There we go. So there's the power. Where did it come from? God the Father. He went about doing good and healing all. How many? All who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So this is how we know that we're going to be walking in the same power, because we're anointed by God, who gave us power with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be setting the oppressed free. We already have been, but you're going to see it now, because this is the step of faith that we're taking today. Amen. We're believing for this. I know it's hard to see, but it says, by his wounds we are healed and made whole.
Yes.
Isaiah 53:5. And that is the center foundational block of what we're doing. So what do we need to do? We need to hear, really hear what the word says to experience it deeply. We need to meditate on the word to get a revelation of it. Healing is received first in our spirit, the same as forgiveness. Now, that was a huge revelation to me when I was going after healing. I came to this church. I was really sick. I'd been sick for about 30 years, emotional, mental, physical, all of it. I was crippled. I was very oppressed. But when I came here, I started hearing something different. And I had to really start listening to like the healing podcast, which is on our website, mfhfw.org. Podcast on their healing in Spanish and English. That podcast changed my life because it's the word of God. Amen. And it just kept going in, and I started getting a revelation. And when I heard the teaching that said, your healing is spiritual, I said to Sarah, I already have it. I have it because I have my spirit. It's full. I've already received forgiveness of sins. Why would I not receive what he has for me in healing? And so it's spiritual first. So you guys should all be excited about that because you have faith.
Amen.
You have faith. So we're not sitting here going, oh, body, oh, body, oh, body. No, we're saying line up. Line up with the word of God. So he is speaking to us, and listening is love. How many of you love Jesus? We need to listen when he's speaking. We need to hear him in our spirit. We need to believe him as he was talking about, and we need to receive him and trust him, because it's not just believing, it's the receiving part that's the disconnect. People don't get that revelation out of their spirit. They're so busy going in their heads. Let's see, I take this medicine, I go to this doctor and this doctor. They forget that scripture is medicine. Scripture is the medicine from their heart. And then the spirit comes alive and says, yeah, I can have it. Okay, put the doctor on hold for a minute. Get your Bible out and get that word of God in your spirit.
Come on. Yeah.
That's where it's at.
That's right.
It's already full resurrection power living within inside of you. And so when you get the revelation, not in your head, but in your heart, you come alive.
That's right.
You come alive. All power already resides within you.
Yay.
Woo! Hallelujah! Come on. This is so amazing, right? Like, this is first time some of you've heard this, maybe. No, not if you've been here, because I'm telling it. But this principle of hear and be healed requires us to go inside our relationship with Jesus, to listen to him and depend on him for the specific strategy that he has for your healing. He has strategies. That's why there's so many ways that Jesus healed. You have to seek him for yours, right? So like if you have a husband or a fiance, girlfriend, whatever, you're in a relationship. Are you going to ignore him? I hope not. You might not get married if you are. Anthony, hear me now. No, it's good to listen to your partner, your fiance, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband. It's good to listen to them, right? Because that's love. And if you're not doing that with Jesus, there's a disconnect. We need to have all our connectors with Jesus so that we can hear everything he has for us that's already inside. So let's take a foundational look in review of the parable that Jesus told of the four soils in Mark 4:38. A farmer sowed some seeds and some fell on four different places, the path, and the birds ate them, the rocks, and they were scorched by the sun because of shallow soil with no roots, 3, thorns, which choked out the seeds, and 4, good soil, which will produce a harvest. That's what we want to be today. Make sure your heart is cultivated to hear what we're speaking about today and receive all that God has for you. We want to be good soil. In verse 9, it says, then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Ask yourself these questions. Will the seed or the word of healing lay dormant in my spirit? Ask yourself, am I good soil? Okay. Ask yourself, is my heart soft and seed ready? Because that's really what it's about. You know, I think the last time I kind of preached this, I had pictures of the fields out there. The soil is good and dark. And when the seed goes in, it kind of nestles in. And then the sun and the rain and God does all the work. Right? But if you're the hard packed down pathway, it can't get in the dirt. It can't get in the soil. So we have to remove those things. And I guess that's why we had to get up and dance and turn around and say, I'm going the different direction today. All right. So when they were alone with Jesus, the disciples asked him to explain them this parable. And this is what he said in Mark 4:14. The farmer sows the word. It's being put out there for you right now. This is the word coming out. God speaking through me. I didn't pray before I started. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. Oh, Father, I pray that you just come out as seeds from my mouth to them. I thank you, Lord, for speaking through me. I thank you for using me. May it go deep into their soil in Jesus' name. So I'm speaking out his word to you right now. So be good soil, catch it, and let it go down in so that it can germinate in your heart. Hear it, meditate on it, and receive it. If you don't have a piece of paper, you might want to get one before the end because I'm going to give instructions. Verse 5, anybody got a tablet to share? Somebody starts sharing paper. Verse 15, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown into them. I just created my own distraction, didn't I? All right, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Everybody get your paper. I'll wait a second. Go back. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown, and as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. This is why I'm going to have you write some things down, because we don't want that word getting snatched from you. They were given a choice. I'm giving you a choice. Jesus is giving you a choice today, either to believe it or to leave it. Let Satan steal it. No, make the choice to keep it. We don't want the enemy to steal what we're putting in today, because this is Inauguration Day. Right. If you don't receive, you're going to walk out with something going on. No. We can't have that. Verse 16 and 17, it says, others, like seeds sown on rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Hallelujah, Leah, joy, woo! All right, but since they have no roots, they last only a short time. Well, that's not her, because I'm discipling her. She's got some good roots. So when trouble or persecution come because of the word, they quickly fall away. Guess what's needed in that case? Deeper roots. deeper roots are needed in the healing word. If you haven't received yet, then you need to go deeper and deeper and deeper, and that is why we're doing the 3D class. We're delving deeper in that divine word, and it's not just about healing. It's about your identity. It's about atonement. It's about what he has done, redemption, all of it. It's not just, some people may be sitting in my class wondering, when are we going to get to the laying hands part? We're not. We're delving deeper in the word of God. The word of God is what sets you free. So we want people meditating on that word and receiving everything that God has for them. So verse 18 and 19, still others, like seeds sown along the thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke out the word and make it unfruitful. That's not the one we want to be, right? So you have to pull those thorns. Pull those weeds out of the way. Because when sin came into the world, thorns and weeds and poison and carnivorous animals came in. And you have to move those things out of the way so you can receive what God has for you. Because those are just distractions of the enemy, and he wants to steal from you. I don't like that. He did that for a long time, and I'm not allowing that anymore. Take captive every unbelieving thought and make it obedient to the word of God and cultivate your field. Right. How much do you got to do that? A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. It's not instantaneous, because God wants to grow us in our faith. He wants us to rise up and have that deep faith that we can take out and pray over other people.
Right.
So, you know, it took me 3.5 years of listening to the healing CD, of being discipled, and of going deeper with God. And studying his word. Sorry, I just spoke right into that, didn't I? And studying his word. It wasn't instantaneous, but I am thankful for the time. I am thankful for what he built in me so that I can turn around and share it with others now. He had a plan. And I get to be here today. I'm so honored. Praise the Lord. In verse 20, it says, others, like seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what is sown. I want to do 100 times what was sown in me, because 30 years was a long time to believe the lies of the enemy and to be sick. And in reality, I would say sickness started way back when I was preteen. Breaking of bones, just odd things. Always until it became a real pattern. And then the medicines, the doctors, and the emotional stuff came with it. But if I look back all the way back, I can see where the enemy had a plan, and now God has restored me, and I want to be the 100 times what was sown to generate over thousands and thousands of people. Amen. For every minute the devil had me sick is another person I'm bringing in. Just going to declare that, prophesy that. All right. So I cannot tell you how many hours in the doctor's offices I spent reading Time magazine, because I hadn't learned to read my Bible yet. But you know what? God takes somebody who doesn't know what they're doing and turns them around.
Amen.
Amen. So Luke 8:15, it says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with noble and good heart. Who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. We want to be the noble, good heart that will produce the crops that we so need. So we ask the Holy Spirit to lead. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us and bring his healing waters over us. Don't let the situation that you're in, don't let the doctors with their lies, don't let family members who want to steal from you. It's not them, actually. It's the devil. But don't let your feeling or your emotion be the one either. Don't let anything steal your seed for healing, right? Be good soil. It's so important because, and I don't mean that doctors lie. I'm just saying they come and they tell you the facts. The fact is you hurt your shoulder, right? But the reality is that God is her healer. God is the healer. And so we got to look at the reality, the truth of the word of God over any facts that is going on inside of us. And sometimes that takes a little bit of work because we feel the pain, we feel the owies, we feel the problems or whatever. But we have to keep our eyes on Jesus and keep laser focused that that's what his word says and it is truth. And the truth will set us free. Amen. I just have a little boo-boo right here. I got a scar now, and I love it because it's kind of like a man-made, God-made tattoo. It was a terrible burn. Okay, you laugh right now, but it's real. I might just tattoo the word Jesus healed me on a brick. But no, it's here. It's here. I wear it as my war wound because it was a burn that turned into an infection right when I started teaching one of the healing classes. And I spoke to it. I said, no, you're not going to become infected. You're not going to fester and my arm fall off in front of all my students. It's not happening. So prayer works. I did not do a Band-Aid. I did not do antibiotic. I did the Word of God. And the Word of God healed it very, very quickly. And somebody suggested oil. I'm like, no, we're not doing oil. We're doing the Word of God. And that's my war wound. I want to show you that. You can hardly see it from where you're sitting, but you want to see it after, I will be proud to show. But God healed that. God healed that. And if he can heal something silly like that, why could he not heal cancer? Why could he not heal broken bones? Why could he not heal a terrible leg infection? Come on now. This is my way of gauging how good God is. You get a cut on your finger. How many of you celebrate? I do. Because he heals it without a Band-Aid. He heals it. I don't even pray for my finger when I get a cut. This is what I'm saying. Start seeing these things. It's small. It's silly. But he does it without you even thinking about it. Amen. So when you're waiting for that big thing, just keep putting it in and say, God healed this. He'll heal this. Right? So I'm just trying to get you to bring it down to something small so that the big stuff don't seem so overwhelming. And that's just the way I do it. And I praise God for that. So let's get to the truth in his word. The faith of the centurion whose servant needed healing. Remember that story? It's found in Matthew 8, 5 through 13. I'm only going to pull up a couple of verses here and there. I've got five stories to show you the here and healed testimonies. Matthew 8, 8, the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed.
Amen.
In other words, speak, I'll hear it, and he'll be healed. There's some faith there because he wasn't even a Christian. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to be a Christian to receive healing. God will do it. In verse 13, it says, then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. That moment when he spoke. And the centurion heard it. And he said, Jesus said, it is done. Now, the centurion had a decision to make. He could either choose to believe it or not believe it. Right? I mean, he had the faith enough to go and ask. You think he'd say, well, I don't believe you. Maybe you need to come to my house. He didn't say that. He believed in the command of the word, the authority of the word. He believed that the word had authority. So then he had to go, well, is it true or is it not? Is this word true? I hear him saying it's done. I bet you he didn't hesitate. I bet you he just said, thank you. Went home and found it, right? That's the way we need to be. We need to say, I believe your word, God. His faith said yes, and he walked into his victory. Is your faith saying yes? Because you will walk into your victory. Next story, two blind men crying out as Jesus walked by. Matthew 9, 28 to 29. These men were calling out and following him because they had been hearing of all the miracles he was doing. Jesus asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Well, they couldn't see him, so they had to hear, right? They heard it really loud and clear. So my testimony is the same way. I heard it was a possibility to be healed here on earth, and I didn't have to wait to get to heaven. That's what my church taught me. When I got to heaven, I was going to be awesome. Well, I didn't want to wait anymore. When I heard the possibility that it was a thing, Jesus said, do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Do you believe without a doubt? Well, I wasn't there yet. I was a baby. I'd been in church my whole life, and I'm 50-some years old when I got here. And I came here, and I heard the possibility, and I'm like, how do I get that? And it was taking the steps of faith, one at a time, being sure and certain that God would answer me. And every time there was a doubt, because I had a new doctor, I had a new medicine, I had a new diagnosis, I had to take a step back. No, the word says he'll do it. And I kept having to go back and forth and finally stand firm. And I had discipleship to help me with that. And this is a great place to be because it takes a minute. You know, we all want to see the miraculous microwave healing, but in reality, God wants to do something in your life. And so I took those steps, and eventually I kept taking them forward and forward and forward. And then the cool thing was, is I got to go backwards as I went off all the medicines. It's like, ha! But I chose to go that way because I was going off those things. Praise the Lord. And the doctors didn't want me to do it, but Jesus said, do it. So my answer was, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Childlike faith said, yes. It really is simple, trusting faith that God is looking for. Some church teachings and Satan complicate it. And that's exactly where I was. That's why it took so long, because I had all those thoughts, all those beliefs that had to be unlearned, and to get to the place where the word was more real to me than what the doctor said. Because I had 7 doctors, 32 pills, and opiate pain patches. That's a lot. And each one had to come off slowly because I didn't want to have reactions or anything. When God says it's time to go off, you go off. And he told me when they were and which doctor to go to and how to do it. And it was great. I can't believe it still. To this day, it's like I had 286 fentanyl patches to get rid of. Nobody would take them from me. I'm like, seriously, I tried the fire department. I tried the doctor's office. I tried the pharmacy. I opened them all. Put them in a coffee can and put a lot of hamburger grease on top of them so they would disintegrate. About 6 months later, then I put it into the trash can. That's how I had to do it. But that I counted them, 286 pain patches. That's how long I'd been on them and how long I knew I need them. Freedom, right? I took a picture of them in the bottom of the can. Praise God. I said, yes, Lord, I believe your word. And that was childlike faith because I did not have it when I came here. I had to grow it, and God developed it, and then we did it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Right. Celebrate. Hallelujah. You all wonder why I'm crazy sometimes. That is why. That is why. Yep. All the drugs out of my system. Woo. Matthew 9:29-30. Then he touched their eyes, and he said, according to your faith, let it be done for you. And their sight was restored. According to your faith, he will work it, whatever level of faith you are. I mean, the Roman centurion wasn't even a Christian, and he worked with his faith, right? Here are these two men beside the road. They just heard about it. They didn't see the crowds, but they got their eyesight back. Do we believe that he is Lord and that he speaks the truth?
Yes. Yes.
Resounding yes, right? Do we trust him? This is simple faith with expectation. You all stood up and turned around, didn't you?
Yes.
Because you knew what I was speaking, and it was a step of your faith. And shake those things off, because that's what he asked for, was simple faith. Psalm 103:2-3 says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Amen. Pastor Don already said that. I know we're going to be speaking that tonight. So let me ask you this. Do you believe your sins are forgiven by that scripture?
Yes. Yes.
Huh? Yes. Yes? Are we unsure? I need to hear yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we do. And so then we need to believe that we're healed by that same word, don't we?
Yes.
Because he put them together. It says it and he said it. So it is done. So yes, we're forgiven, and yes, we're healed. So if you're weak in that healing area, what do you got to do? Start applying the scripture to your body, to your body. Do it. Come on. It's how we do it. You'd put on poison ivy cream if you had poison ivy. Come on. So believe that you are healed because healing has been provided for you in the atonement, in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to reconcile us with God the Father. Jesus restored our fellowship with the Father. That was broken a long time ago in the Garden of Eden. The fellowship between mankind and God was broken. And then because of that, sin brought in all the stuff I already mentioned, thorns, poisons, carnivorous animals, all those things, sickness, disease, all the way to Jesus coming. And he took all that away and then put us back into fellowship with God the Father. So let me ask you this too, and get ready for an ouch. Maybe you need a Band-Aid. If you are not seeing your healing happen, is it him or is it you? That's ouchy. I know it is, but you know it's not him, right?
Right.
We know it's not him because he's a good God, full of grace, full of love. We cannot make excuses for it. We cannot. We want to. We want to go off of what happened last year. We want to go off of what happened to so-and-so, what we've experienced so far, but we cannot because he has a plan and it locks in with other people's plans, and we have to just trust him full on. You need to press in, read scripture, hear in your spirit the truth over your facts. It is simple faith that he is looking for. We got to get out of our heads. We got to get out of what the devil's trying to cross, you know, our signals, and just stay focused on the word and focused on God. It says in scripture that their sight was restored. Spiritually, our eyes are blind and they can only be opened by the truth of the gospel. If we let him, we had to have it open for understanding we needed Jesus. It's the same way. It's so funny to me that back then they received healing right and left. They just did. They came from all over and received that healing, but they couldn't understand they were forgiven and that they didn't have to follow the old law anymore. And we're the opposite because the church has taken these routes of teaching us wrong teachings. It takes a minute. You will receive your healing because he is faithful to his promises. How many agree with that?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. And they always come to pass.
Yes, amen.
His promises are true, and they never return void or empty. It is his desire and will for us to be whole and well. He's not just going for a healing in our body. He's going for wholeness, wellness from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, in your emotions, in your mental status, in your spirit. He wants you to be whole. The word, if you tear it up, like Pastor Israel was, the Greek and the Hebrew, it talks about wholeness all the time. It doesn't say get your healing. It says be whole. That's why I like this rock right there, because it uses the word whole. So Jesus was in the synagogue and he was teaching, and he saw a man with a withered hand. Remember that story? Luke 6:10. He looked around at all of them, and then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so, and his hand was completely restored. I would love to see that story, right? We will. We will. The man was given instructions by Jesus. Did he do them? He did.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see him going, well, I guess it was like this. I could see him going, do you not see this? But I don't think he hesitated. I think he'd heard enough, seen enough by, where are we now? Luke 6. I think he's heard and seen enough that he just went. What if he wasn't listening and he couldn't hear the instruction? He would have missed it, right? That's why we need to seek the Lord, not that we'll be healed, but that we hear how he wants to heal us, right? We need to get the instruction. And so the instruction to this man was, stretch out your hand, and then it happened. He could have said, put it behind your back and say abracadabra, but he didn't. He said, do that step of faith, which looked really like, I don't know, it's kind of, but then it happened, and everybody saw it. If he'd done it behind his back, somebody would have accused him of switching hands, right? Okay, so number two, what if he had sat with this command and didn't do the action? Okay, I heard you. I'm going to think about that. I got to pray about it for another month or two. Come back in a month. He could have sat there with it. He would not have been healed because Jesus said, do it now. Are we hearing Jesus? Capital letters on my screen. Are we? Are we being obedient to the word? Are we being doers of the word? We're in the book of James now. We're going to be getting confronted with that, right? Being doers of the word. Here's the thing. Don't hesitate. Move into your victory. That's why when he speaks something to you and you're debating on whether or not that was from God, that's why you might not see it happen. You got to just go, yep, that was from God. And, you know, I asked the kids, you want to run up to the altar with me? They were singing about, and we ran out of that grave. They didn't want to, so I did it by myself. I heard from God, and Sarah said, let her rip. So we did. I was like, yeah, run. I ran out of that grave, no longer dead. All right, I'm sorry, I'd be silly sometimes. All right, this man did not allow himself the time to doubt if Jesus could do it. He just did what he was told, and he believed. There was no time there. He just, and it happened. I love that. Did you catch what happened? It said his hand was completely restored. Nothing missing, nothing broken. This can be a promise for you. If you're going for a healing, meditate on this and look at how it happened. Jesus said it, he heard it, and he restored. Take it for your own. That's what the story's for. Take that for your own. Meditate on it and say, God, what does that look like for me? How am I going to be restored? What does that look like? He'll tell you. If it's to just sit and wait, if it's to pray longer, I don't know. But he could say, go ahead and go to the doctor and tell him you're done with that medicine and take those steps of faith. Mary and Martha's story in Luke 10:39. She, Martha, had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Help me be Mary, God. Martha was complaining about Mary not helping to serve. Oh, I'm going to say it. I did that for my sister last night at a party. She sat there and said, are you going to sit down? Maybe if you come help me. But in verse 42, Jesus said, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Amen. So what is that saying to us? What is it saying to me? Okay, so I was working at the party for the family, but afterwards I shut it all down and I sat with the Lord to complete this, because that's the most important part of the day. Be in a relationship with Jesus. Don't be so busy that you don't have time to see what he's telling you, to hear in your spirit what he's saying, because you'll miss your healing if you're too busy. We all need to build our own faith. I can stand up here and talk to you all day. We know it. I can do it. But it doesn't help if you're not cultivating it in yourself, right? So it says, we all need to build our own faith in who he is. That's really important to know who he is. It's not just Jesus, the guy who was on the cross and now he's in heaven. It's Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, my Deliverer, my Protector, my Guide, my all of those things. Find out what he is and then believe what he says. Don't fall short of all that he has for you. Got it? All right, now we're moving on to Jesus heals an official son, John 4:50. This was the second miracle that Jesus performed in Canaan in Galilee. He had turned water into wine at the wedding, and this official heard about what Jesus had done. So in his desperation, he asked Jesus to come heal his child. Again, most likely not a believer yet, but Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed, and his son lived. And it says in verse 53, he and all his household believed. So notice how the official's faith grew. He believed enough to ask Jesus to help his son, right? He had that small bit of faith. That's where I was at when I came here. I believed in Jesus. I loved Jesus, but I had no idea he could do so much. Number two, he believed when Jesus spoke that his son would live, and he acted on it. That's what happened to me. When I heard that it was a possibility, I took the steps to get there. Number three, he and his whole household came to believe in Jesus. And I'm believing for that too. Yeah. Might as well, right? Let's just throw it all in, kit and caboodle. Faith is a gift that grows as we use it.
Right?
It will grow. He gave us a mustard seed and we all received the same, but some people spend more time with him. Some people get more in the word. Some people hear visions and dreams. He's going to cultivate your faith when you spend time with him. That's what we're going to see, right? All right. John 11, 40 to 44. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Amen. Amen. Come on, we just have to believe and we will see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Remember back when it says he was anointed with power? From God?
Yes.
Okay, so he says, when he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Put yourself in that spot. Are you in a grave right now? Are you struggling with something that feels like you cannot get out? Whether it's emotional, mental, physical, or spiritual. If you're feeling like that, go sit with the story. Where did I say it was found? Somebody's notes? Yeah, John 11, 40 to 44. Jesus said, "Come out," and the person has to rise up and say, "I want to do that. I want to take those steps. I want to be delivered of this. I want those bonds taken off. I want those chains removed." We have to take the first step, right? People saw the end results and were very happy that Lazarus was raised from the dead, but some may have missed the glory in their doubt and unbelief. I'm sure there were people that were there that were doubting what they saw. Oh, they probably just faked it. They just stuck him behind the rock right before we came. You know how those people are, right? It was a magician's trick. It was somebody else dead, and they wrapped him, and now, look, Lazarus was hiding in there. He had taken some figs, keep him sustained until 4 days has gone by. Come on. Do you know the doubt and unbelief, the story? Oh, boy, this is all just coming. but that's what the church does. The church tries to poo-poo it away, that these miracles don't really happen today, that these things are not really signs. They're just kind of magic and blah, blah, blah. Come on, God wants his glory to be shown, and it says those who believe will see. We need to believe and work together with God for the fulfillment of his plan for us. You notice Jesus did that. He worked with God. He spoke to God, and he said it so everybody could hear. We know not everyone receives all that he has for us. We know that. God did it for every single person. But people don't receive it. Don't make yourself be one of those that can't get there because of some lie from the church. God or devil. God has, well, that's the same thing. God has provided salvation for everyone, but many have not accepted it. And that's why we have to go tell, right? That's why we have to talk. That's why we have to share Jesus. So Jesus spoke with authority, and he commanded death to leave Lazarus' body. We can do the same when sickness and disease comes on us. Get out of my body. No infection from my burn, right? We have to take authority over it and command it to go. We can use our faith and make it leave because of his resurrection power and the blood that he sacrificed for us. All right, we're going to go to the takeaway now. Anybody healed yet?
Yeah.
Hear and be healed. Come on. We're hearing. Hearing and healing. Don't try to say that too fast. All right, let's get to the takeaway. The Lord has given us principles to follow in this word. This message of hearing and healing are one of them. If we take in his word and we believe it in our hearts and declare it with our mouths, we will receive his salvation for us. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. He has done his part and he has shown us how to do ours. Okay? He has shown us how to do it. He has told us in his word. Every one of these five stories was an example to you. I'm sure one of them could apply to your situation.
Right.
That's why I picked the ones that I did. We must seek God through his word and trust him to bring the truth of Jesus Christ to fullness in our lives. I mean, God's already done it. We're all sitting here, I'm waiting on God to do it. He's already done it. It's our job to bring that to the fullness by using our faith within our spirits. It's already done. That's so important to understand. That's why I was so excited the day it hit me. I got the revelation like, oh, I already have it. I'm dancing around in here. She's like going, you're nuts. Yes, I am. I have it. This is so exciting. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. And when the spiritual gets the revelation and we speak out of our mouths with a renewed mind, our bodies have to line up with it.
That's it.
That's great.
It has to. It doesn't get to decide what it wants to do. Okay? It isn't based on what the doctor says it's going to do. It is based on the word of God that when we get it in our spirit, we speak it out of our mouth, our mind is renewed into the things of God, and we command our bodies to line up. It sounds hard, but it really isn't. If I could do this when I didn't know very much, we can do it with the faith we have now, right? Get the lies out of the way. Jesus used many methods of healing people, but the same principle. He spoke, they believed, healing manifested. There are specific steps that we need to take in obedience to cooperate with his healing power, and he will give them to you. If you listen for the voice of the Lord your God and then be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, your healing will come.
All right. That's correct.
That's correct. Yep. We must have a faith response. Knowing what action to take only comes by learning to depend on him and by listening to his voice because you're in a relationship with him.
Right.
So I wasn't going to, but I'm going to. When I was on fentanyl patches for 14 years, every 72 hours I was to change them. Doctor decreased it to 48 because it wasn't doing the job. So after 48 hours, if I forgot, my body would go into withdrawal. And I would twitch and get all funky. And I didn't understand what it was. And when I realized I'm addicted, I was crushed. I cried. I'm an addict. It just took me down mentally on top of everything else. I'm an addict. I didn't want to be an addict. But my counselor was a Christian man. And he said, that's your body. That's not who you are. Like, what? And he shared that with me. And that was very comforting because I didn't want to be that way. But the medicines had been in my system for 14 years. So the day God said, don't put another patch on, what do you think I thought? I went, but God, I'll start jerking. I'll start being restless. I'll start having to pace the living room. I'll start being in fear. I'll start having anxiety. And I held the patch package in my hand. And he said, don't put it on. That took a moment of faith. That was kind of like this guy with the withered hand. Do I do it? Do I not do it? And I chose to do it. I chose to take that step of faith. I'm going off the deep end. Let's go. And I put it down, and I didn't say anything. And 2 days later, which was past the 72 now, by a whole another 24 hours, I was doing okay, and I wasn't in extreme pain. I didn't have to take any breakthrough medicine, which was morphine or Darvocet or whatever level of pain it was. And I got to the third day, and I was having a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear, like, oh, my gosh, it's been 3 days, and I know you can relate to this story. And so on that third day, I called a sister, a friend, and she prayed for me. And she prayed very powerfully for me because I didn't have the faith to go all the way by myself. And it's okay. It's all right. That's what the body of Christ is for. It's to lean on each other and to put up our shields of faith together so that we can make it through what God says to do. So that got to the fifth day. There were terrible side effects, other ways we won't discuss. But all of it was out of my system by the end of the week, completely. It was all out. And the doctor was on vacation. And we had set up a plan for the springtime. And this was Christmas. And luckily, Tim was working, so he didn't see all the side effects. But I'm telling you, it was amazing. So when he come back and I go back and he says, "You're not on your patches." "Nope, God's good." He's like, "How'd you do it?" I said, "Faith. I use my faith." And so all the prep we had done to all the different drugs to substitute those drugs was not needed, because God told me when to do it, and they did it exactly as he told me to, and it was all taken care of. There was no jerking, no restlessness, nothing, except that one day of just a little bit like, oh, and she got me through it. And so God is good. He will tell you how and when to do it.
Yes.
Okay? So I'm not telling you to go off any medications. Please don't hear that. All right. Did I already read that? I don't even know. Jesus didn't always heal people the same way every time. Okay? So you going off your medication may not be like how I went off my medication. I just want to put that disclaimer out there. That was what the Father told me to do. That's what I did. All right. He listened to the Father. He followed the Spirit and involved the recipients of healing. They were given an action to complete the process. The principles are always the same, but the methods are not. So hear and be healed is always the principle we walk in. But how is up to God with you. Each battle over our health is different, and we need to apply different methods to be healed. But it's not complicated. It's just listening to his voice and being directed. This requires us to be dependent upon the Lord and listen to his voice. All right? Here's where you need your paper. You ready? Number one, I'm going to make it really easy for you. Get in God's presence. Get to know how much God loves you. Meditate on the depths of the love of God, because that might be all you need. To know how much God loves you. The more I sit and meditate on Isaiah 53 and the atonement and the redemption package, how can you not accept healing? He loved us so much. Healing is in that atonement, and our Heavenly Father provided healing to us through the sacrifice of his Son Jesus. We know that, but do we know that? Has he shown you how he suffered? Has he shown you how he went through it for you, how much he loves you? That's what is number one. Number two, listen for his instructions. Pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, because we can do that. We've been restored in our fellowship with God. We can go to the Father. In fact, Friday night at worship night, I got to sit on his lap all night. It was so wonderful. And I kept getting down and getting distracted, looking at my phone. Pastor Harley texted me, and I'm answering. And then I get back on the Father's lap, and he said, "You're just like a little kid." I know. But he let me back in his lap because he loves me. Surround yourself with faith builders and get into agreement in prayer for healing. Who's being discipled in this room? Okay. That's who you need to call, your faith builders, right? That's why we have them. It's so important. If you need a different one, get a different one. We don't care. Just somebody walking in faith with you, arm in arm. It's so helpful. Receive ministry with the anointing of oil, laying on of hands, or the Holy Spirit gifts of healings. That's real important to understand. Those things are there also for us to receive from. Don't sit in your seat and go, "I'm not going up for prayer. I did it last week." However long it takes, right? Because he's there for you. He's pouring it out through people, through oil, through hands, through the gifts of the healing, through the Holy Spirit. Don't sit there and let the devil steal. Number three, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and put your faith into action. See yourself well. He gave us an imagination so we can be seeing ourselves well. We can see what that looks like. I didn't understand that back then. I just went through it. But to see yourself well is a great tool that God uses. Get aggressive in your faith. Get aggressive. The violent take it by storm in Matthew 11, 12. "Devil, get off me. You can't have me. Get out of me. Body line up. Take that authority, however that looks in your life. Maybe you whisper your authority. I like to yell. I like to say, devil, you stole from me way too long. You can't touch me. You can't have me. I'm a child of God, and I know the truth. And the truth has already set me free, so you're not coming back on with this burn infection to make my arm fall off in front of everyone. That was an imagination thought. Anyways, examine your heart to remove any barriers of doubt and unbelief. Those are your two hookups. The devil will send a doubt across your mind. Is it for me? Is it really true? Why hasn't it happened? It's taken so long. I don't know why it takes a long time for some, and some it doesn't. I don't know that, but God does, right? So you have to take captive the doubt, take captive the unbelief, the lie of whatever it is, because that's Satan's ploy to make you not get there. Jesus often said, may it be done according to your faith. Build your faith. If it hasn't happened yet, don't sit there and think about why it hasn't happened. Build your faith some more. Keep building, keep building, keep building, right? That's where it's at. If you don't receive specific instructions from the Lord, then act on whatever wisdom key for healing you feel strongest about. Because a lot of people get in that game, I'm just not sure. I don't know. I could have said that too. The minute he said, don't put the patch on, I could have said, liar. You're lying to me. I don't want to be in hyper blah, blah, blah. But I didn't. I said, God, that's got to be you. Why would the devil want me off the medicine? Why? He wouldn't. I just said, yes, let's do it. And if it failed, well, then in the spring we had a plan with the doctor, right? But I just said yes. God will confirm his word with signs following. Guess what the signs were? There were none. No restlessness, no problems whatsoever. Faith always works. You can use this principle in ministry for others as well. Romans 10, 14 to 17. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who may have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How many of you have beautiful feet? That's really where it's at. You may not like your feet. It may not be a feature you love. I keep mine in shoes. But you know what? They're beautiful to God because you're willing to go. You're willing to share what has happened to you. Start somewhere. Say something. Be blessed is a really good way to start. Bless somebody, right? Don't be in fear. This is the season for boldness. It is time to be bold because we don't have much longer before he's coming and people are going to miss it. And I don't want to see people miss it. They can make their own choice. Your job is not to make their choice. Your job is to tell them. Jesus does the work of bringing them in. So don't try to decide if they look like they'll receive your message. It doesn't matter. The Lord says, tell them. Tell them. The worst is they might remember you're crazy. They might remember, wow, you don't know. If you get something negative, walk away. Go to the next one, right? Be followers of him in your ministry to others. Listen to his voice, follow the Spirit, and be led to whatever action you are to take for the person you are ministering to, okay? It's the same way that you've been listening for yourself. It'll be the same way for somebody else that you're discipling or trying to minister to at the store or whatever. Love, listen, discern, respond. That's what we teach here, right? We love on people with the love of God. We listen to what they're saying because people need to feel heard. And we also listen to the Holy Spirit at the same time. And we discern what he's saying for us to do. And then we respond to Jesus. And do it. It may be scary. It may not. Amen. Do it. Just do it. Your faith may make the difference of life and death in someone else. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. All right. So now I'm going to have Cassandra come up. Just a quick preface. This is Cassandra. She's a friend of mine about a year almost now. Yeah. She reached out to our church and asked for some prayer. And I was the person that said, I'll call her back. And so shortly after that, she needed some help at the hospital.
Yes.
And the Lord said, call Tanya. And it was 4 a.m.
Yes. So I was sleeping, and I got woke up by dizziness. And then I went to the ER, and in that, they gave me...
Huh? It is.
Is it on? Oh, okay. Hold it closer, sorry. And so I went to the ER, which was very unlikely because I don't like going to the ER, but, and my blood pressure was really high, and they gave me blood pressure med through my IV, but it didn't go down. And they did that 3 times, and I had the high blood pressure and dizziness. And I remember, I don't know why, I just remember, I was like, you need to text Tanya. And I had only met her twice, but I just knew, text Tanya. And he did, and then she texted back when she woke up. She's like, I'm getting the shower, I'll be on my way. She came. And that was the first time that I ever experienced. Sorry. I'm so sorry. That was the first time she came in. She brought the word. She read the word to me and my husband. And it took in, and she touched me. And I just felt the Lord's power through me, and boom, my blood pressure went down. It was gone. The dizziness was gone, and I was healed. I never experienced anything like that. And she continued to minister to me. And then they wanted me to stay, but she was like, nope, you're healed, and I knew it. And so she's like, get up and go. Well, she was like, you can do what you want, but get up and go. And we did. We left. We left. I went home, and I still didn't feel like I wanted to go to work, and I didn't go. And she ended up calling, following up, like, how are you doing? But it was ironic because she showed me still. She's like, don't let the devil win. You are healed. You know you're healed. And so I ended up that day watching Moses, the story of Moses on TV. She's like, that's good. The devil didn't win. You're still, you know, in the war watching Moses. And I did. And so that was the experience that I had. And because of that, there was something more I wanted. And she took me on and she disciples me. And in that, I have grown. And I'm so grateful to learn and grow in the word and who Jesus is. It's so real. It is the truth. And in that, she's, I love how she is and how she disciples. No, Cassandra, nope. Like, no, let's get this. She gets the word out. This is what it says. And it just, it takes me in. And I'm grateful that Jesus brought her into my life, and she disciples me, and she shows me. And even still, like, it was, I had another issue that was going on. I texted her. She calls me. I'm talking to her. She prays for me. Boom. It's like, whoa. And God keeps showing me more and more. And it's like, okay, I can do this. Like she said, just little steps. And I take those little steps. And it's like, yeah, I can do this. I do have that power and authority. I can do it. And she just keeps pushing me and growing me. And I'm so grateful for her and what she's done and all that the Lord has done in my life. The healing physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, he has healed me. And I just feel this like, yes, Lord, thank you. So thank you very much for all. Thank you, Lord, for what he's done. And thank you for Tanya. I really am thankful for her time and all that she puts in to pour into me. Everything. She will be with her husband and pray for me. She calls, or she's like, okay. And she prays for me. And I'm like, okay. So thank you. That's, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So it's so awesome because it's God, right? You know it's God. He's in the midst of all of it. It's not about me. It's just the willingness to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so a hungry heart, someone who wants to go after it, is the key. It really is the key. And so when she called, Sarah's like, well, what then? Who can disciple her? I'm like, me, this one's for me. I want this one. And it's been really good. She only lives a few minutes from my house, so it has been really good. And Juan did my living room this summer. Praise the Lord. We got to give back to their family. Anthony's here today, 2 others, and so we pray for them. I want to show you what God showed me on my way to the hospital that day. This was before church. I was like, you know what? Church is not important. It's about this person's needs for Jesus. And I felt honored that she called. It wasn't even a doubt that I would go. And so I'm driving, and it's a little blurry because I'm going over the overpass of 69, and this picture is what I saw. Well, it wasn't black yet. It was becoming light. The sun was coming up.
Set the stage.
Yeah, it is a stage of it. We start with black. It's all good. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Santos. It's good. The picture, when I saw it in my heart, I was like, he's already there. Mm-hmm. So all I had to do was be bold.
Yeah.
This is what I saw. That was over the hospital. That hospital's right underneath that fire. And it was the sunrise, but the sunrise usually goes horizontal. Right. So when I saw it, I'm blinking. I'm like, what? So of course I'm driving over 69 trying to discreetly take a picture. Because no one's going to believe me. But the fire of God goes before us. So I pull in, I park the car, and before I go into the hospital door, I look back, and it was normal. But God said to me, I am already there. All you have to do is just go in and believe with them. So I did. And we just took authority. And the presence of God was right there in the room. And we prayed. We established our beliefs. And then when we prayed, this beeping over here from this high blood pressure was so annoying. And I just shut up. And we went on praying, and it stopped just like that. I mean, how often you get the evidence of it being immediate? It was immediate because that little thing was beeping, 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 beeping. And then we just shut it down, and it shut down. So I said, "Now it's up to you, but if it was me, I'd be leaving." And so she took that advice, and she did. And that's what it is. It takes faith. And she's a person of faith, and God works with that.
Amen.
So praise the Lord, right? Yes. I wanted to end with that testimony because that's the key. Just be that person. She heard that she needed someone to come and then called. And I went, and they both heard, and we were all in agreement in the room, and bam, God did it.
Awesome.
It's simple faith.
Yes.
It's simple faith, okay? And I just so funny, the doctor came in, and he's like, well, we don't know what's going on, but we got a room for you upstairs. She goes, I'm not staying. I'm going home. And he's like, okay. So praise the Lord. All right, so that's the end of the sermon, and I thank you for being patient. I think I took a little bit long, but now I want to, because it's the inauguration day, bring up two people in the Healing Master class. This is a class, you guys come on up. This class has been going on for, I think we're about 40-some lessons now, every other Friday for 2 years almost, and we will graduate in April. The last Friday of April, the class will graduate. We started out with 22 students, and we're down to 12. But these two are faithful. They come every week, and I'm really grateful for that. It's hungry hearts that want Jesus, right? So I'm going to ask them to share a testimony, and I'm going to go ahead and let you hold it. It's on.
Hello? Okay. Yep. Sorry about that. I don't know where to begin.
The question is, what has the Healing Master class and going into the Word of God done for you?
Okay. The class starts off with basically teaching your foundation and finding your identity in Christ, which I really needed because I did not come from a church background. My family did not go. My dad didn't believe in that. I had a very traumatic childhood with abusive father. I was made fun of in school, and I just isolated myself, and I missed out on a lot of things in life because of that. I kept very, very minimal friends, you know. So when I came here and I started this class, and everybody here has been wonderful with trying to get my head, you know, I struggle with the emotional stuff, which many people think it's just physical diseases, but it's not. The mental stuff is very, very real. And it can take you deeper, and it can torment you, like Tanya said, and it causes other things. But this class has really brought me out of my shell, so to speak. I'm a little nervous here. I'm very thankful that he left the 99 and came for me. I'm very thankful for what he's done in my life, and I'm thankful for the class and everybody here. I am being bold now because the fact that I'm standing right here now talking, this would never happen before. So thank you, Jesus. I'm seeing a lot of things in my life, and we're married, those of you that don't know. Things have been really moving in our lives as well. People have seen the difference in me. People at work, you know, my family, they're really, hey, how'd you get here? So I'm able to minister to some of them and they're really reach out to them. I am the light. I feel like all these chains have broken off of me, and I am being bold, and I'm going out and speaking to people like I'm supposed to. And like, I work in a factory, and factories are very, you know, can be dark places, but I'm walking through with boldness, and I feel like I'm on cloud nine. I'm walking, and the lights, the motion sensor lights are coming on, and I'm going into the different areas of the factory, and I'm reaching people, I'm praying for people, and people that never even spoke to me before are talking to me, so they're definitely seeing it. So I'm just very, very thankful to be just set free, and I'm healed. Amen. You know, as you go forward with the Lord, you know, the enemy doesn't like that at all. And he does attack you more and more and more. But I know the authority that I have in Jesus right now. And when he tries to come at me, I take him captive and I say, no, you're not speaking to me. Get out right now. And it's just, it's so awesome just to have this, because I never knew anything. I mean, I knew Jesus and I knew God, but I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. I really didn't have a religious background, but I love it. So
you heard, mm-hmm. and you were healed.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. There we go. Yeah. Huh?
You can hold it for him.
Chicken.
Yes. I was abused as a child, and I thought I was not loved. And going to the master healing classes, I found out that God really does love me, and he is with me all the time. And he taught, showed me how to take the enemy captive and put him underneath my feet. Right. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for sharing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't need this.
Isn't God good? He takes people that are that hear his word and receive forgiveness, and then he teaches them and trains them up. And they're going to be working up here. And the healing class is going to, come on, spit it out. Thank you. In my Father's House of Healing, these are the students that are going to be working up here because they have been diligent, faithful, going and pushing through, and God's going to use them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in a mighty, mighty way. So we are so grateful for what God is doing today. I don't know about you guys, but we need to pray. Anybody want to come up and receive more than what they already have received? The altar is open and the team's coming up, so feel free to come and receive anything you need. Anything you need. Emotional, mental, physical, and oh, I got to pray for social media. Sorry about that. Okay. You heard the word, so be healed where you are. Come and give us the testimony at 6 o'clock tonight. We're having a second service tonight, and I want to hear. I want to hear what God has done in you while you watched in your pajamas. So come. Come. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you are here in this room, and you also reach through the social media, no matter how long it is, and they hear it again. Father, we thank you for your fellowship with us. And we thank you, Jesus, that you healed that fellowship. You restored that fellowship back to the way it was created in the beginning. And so we thank you for that. We walk in your goodness. We walk in your love. We walk in your peace and your joy. And we thank you, God, that you don't only want us healed. You want us whole. And so I speak wholeness over everyone on social media right now in Jesus' name. Put your hand over your heart and say, I receive what Jesus has for me. I want the fullness of what God has for me. And I will seek out his word and fill my heart and have everything restored to fullness. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. May the Lord keep you safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So while you're coming up, sometimes people would ask, why didn't you preach instead of have somebody else preach on Inauguration Day? Well, first of all, it's not about me. That's the main thing. It's really about Jesus. The second thing is, what better proof that this work works could you have than someone that's been healed from 30 years of stuff? And God is really, really good. He's amazing. What he did for Tanya, he will do for anybody who will come and seek him, seek after his heart. And if you are willing to do the things that she's teaching about this morning, you can be those that set others people free. So that's what it's about, in Jesus' name. So if you want prayer, come on up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.